Most of you know me really well. It's hard not to after 20 years. That was really interesting. That is not the way that was supposed to work out. Lou Monte recorded one of the great seasonal songs of all time. Dominic the Donkey ranks right up there near the top for me. Of course, I have a couple of others. Snoopy and the Red Baron. Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack. But Dominic the Donkey is, to use Braden's phrase, is goated. It's just good stuff. It's whimsical. It's fun. It's totally disconnected from things related to the birth of Christ. And we're going to come back to that. But it's one of those songs that takes on a whole new meaning when it is belted from the mouths of innocent babes. We've all done it. We have all bellowed our favorite songs at the top of our lungs with total confidence that we are singing the right lyrics and we know about what we're singing, only to realize to our chagrin that we're singing the wrong words or we have no idea what they mean. My children were notorious for it. Instead of simply having a wonderful Christmas time, Joshua would belt out, "Simpy happy, wonderful Christmas time." From Paul McCartney's song, Joshua would sing Feliz Navidad instead of Feliz Navidad. Or instead of Little Red Corvette, it was Mio Red Corvette. What brought that on was a couple of weeks ago in Priceville. We're doing a show. It's a Christmas show. They're piping in Christmas music. And Dominic the Donkey comes on. Now imagine this. I'm doing me. I'm taking care of a customer's purchase, and I'm bouncing around like a weirdo. And I'm singing, and I'm braying at the top of my lungs. By the way, Boo did that at 2 years old and five guys and entertained an entire restaurant when Dominic the Donkey came on. You know, it's a wonder Kim ever has any customers with me as the public relations director. Anyway, this lady started telling me a story. A fellow teacher played Dominic the Donkey for her first graders. They loved it. They fell in love with the song, and she could hear them singing as they went down the hall, "Don't lick the donkey." So a whole new meaning. Don't lick the donkey. As Captain said to Cool Hand Luke, what we have here is a failure to communicate. A failure to communicate when it's "don't lick the donkey" can be comical. Other times it can be confusing. What are you saying? Why are you saying it? 1 Thessalonians 5, it can actually be dangerous. If we get the wires crossed, if we do not get the message across, it can be a problem. And so that's where we are this morning, those last two. Sometimes we get a little confusing in what we teach. And that can become a little dangerous. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Remember, Paul's wrapping up a letter and he's going through some things in rapid fire. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is of good. Abstain from every form or the very appearance or anything closely connected to evil. Christmas creates a conundrum for the Christian. What do we do with it? Is it the birthday of the Christ? And remember that Christ is a title, it's not a name. He is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Does it matter? Does it matter if some take it that way and some do not? Can we, if we're going to examine everything carefully, celebrate Christmas as the birth of Jesus? Or do we need to leave it to Frosty and Rudolph and Bing Crosby? Can we celebrate it at all? Can we use it as a teaching point? Or do we disassociate from it? When can we talk about the birth of Jesus? Because that makes it a little confusing. If we key on and teach the birth of Jesus around the holiday, i.e., 2 weeks away, while trying to explain that we do not recognize it or celebrate it as such, do we reach the point that we have a failure to communicate, leading to confusion, possibly leading to danger? Do we say, well, Christmas is not Jesus' birthday, but then we only sing songs about His birth in December in our Bible class material? It's amazing how many times it works out that that's the lesson. And we teach it at the exact same time. May even have another sermon where we do talk about the birth of Christ. So at this point, I want to emphasize, no wonder our kids get confused. The world shoving it at them as the birth of Christ, so we try to teach them that it's not, and then we talk about it. The denominational world's confused. So maybe those who've come out of the denominational world into the church carry some of that confusion. Or they've come out of the world where it's been taught and they carry that confusion. And so we mix up all these signals and we cross all these wires, and it leads to a short circuit in our thinking. And it can even lead to a short circuit in our faith. So the article for the month, the mail out, is going to deal with this. But that mail out happens to come out because of the schedule we set the week of Christmas. So we're going to talk about it today, separate it by 2 weeks. We're going to talk about a couple of things, how we can know for certain that December 25th is not Jesus' birthday. We're going to talk about why we do not celebrate the birth of Jesus as a holiday at any point. And we're going to talk about the origin very quickly of Christmas itself. Then, I'm not going to touch the birth of Christ again for the rest of this year, so that there's no confusion and our kids are not, well, we just said this and now. All right, so number one, and there'll be a lot of historical reference in some of this until we get towards the end. How do I know that December the 25th is not the day Jesus was born? That's really one of the simpler questions surrounding Christmas. Let's start with the month part first before we get to the 25th. Jesus was not born in a winter month. Period. That's as straightforward as it gets. Usually by the end of October, and absolutely no later than the second week of November, Judean shepherds quit keeping their flocks in the fields at night because it is bitter cold. They take them into the folds. If the weather allows, they will bring them out to pasture during the daytime, but they always return to the fold at nightfall. Where are the shepherds when Jesus is born? They're in the pasture at night. It's not late November. It is not December. Certain religious groups use January the 6th. It's not January. It's not February. The nature of Judean winters also eliminates the command for a census during December. Oh, I need everybody to pack up at the coldest point of the year and travel to their home city with their little kids so I can count them. No. All right, what about the 25th? A very specific date, even within the month of December. The 25th came from a bishop in the Roman Catholic Church who ordered that the celebration of Jesus' birthday would be on the 25th of December. He ordered that in AD 354. So 300 years after the death of Jesus. All right, why? Why all of a sudden after three centuries do we have an exact date for the birth of Jesus? Is it historical precedent? Did he find somewhere that this had been practiced before and we had just dropped it? No. The early church, prior to the apostasy that leads to the Catholic Church, had no holy days. There are no feasts mentioned in the New Testament or memorials other than the weekly observance of the death, burial, and resurrection, appearance of Jesus through the Lord's Supper. So it wasn't something that he found that we had dropped out of our worship. It's not a obscure historical reference to the date of Jesus that we had just never seen before that all of a sudden scholars find. We still have absolutely no record. 2,000 years later. So why? Why choose December 25th? World Book Encyclopedia, and it's just one of a whole bunch of them, says he chose it because that was the date of the Roman feast celebrating the winter solstice. That means December 25th has never had anything to do with the birth of Jesus. It was chosen to offset a pagan feast and designed, listen to this, Christmas was designed as an opportunity to show the pagan world that Christianity, Christians, could party too. Do you know that? For years, the church, before Catholicism, had been accused of being stodgy and boring and lacking pageantry because we didn't have feasts and we didn't have these huge celebrations and we didn't give gifts to everyone, all this kind of stuff. So, in this bishop's mind, what better way to break the mold? What better way to attract the pagans to Christianity than to borrow one of their days from the very ones making this accusation that we're boring, then adopt their practices. By the way, the lights at Christmas, the presents at Christmas, came straight out of Roman paganism. Came straight out of this Feast of Lights. So we can give them an alternative. And we can grow and attract them because we look like them now. Meaning December, that'd be a no. The 25th, no. No basis anywhere for either of those. Well, at least give me AD 1. Don't we base our calendar on the birth of Jesus? The answer is still no. AD 1 was assigned as the beginning point of the Christian calendar by Dionysius in 754. So 7.5 centuries have passed. And he proposes a calendar on what in his mind is based on the birth of Jesus. And so he starts to try to count backward to get the year. And he puts the birth of Jesus in AD 1. Sadly, or maybe providentially, maybe God had a hand in this. He missed it by at least 4 years. More likely 6 or 7. more accurate records have come to light, the years that transpired in between. Herod the Great, remember the man that entertained wise men and then went headhunting for Jesus, died in April of 4 BC. He died after the birth of Jesus. In fact, since he kills all the male children up to the age of 2, he dies at least 2 years after the birth of Jesus. So that puts us at the earliest or the latest, however you want to word it, in 6 BC. So number one, if we nail down the birth of Jesus to December 25th, 81, we are doing so based on the whim of a Catholic bishop 345 years after the fact, and then a monk 754 years after the fact. Both of whom made mistakes in their calculations. So you can mark December 25th off the calendar as the birth of Jesus. By the way, another secular encyclopedia says early Christians prior to the apostasy, prior to Catholicism, did not keep birthdays. They did not emphasize them. They did not focus on record keeping, and they did not celebrate them. So it took us 345 years to decide to celebrate the birth of Jesus. All right, and I changed the order from where I started. What about the origin? Well, I've already told you it was designed to offset a pagan feast. The word itself, and most of us know this, what we don't know is the rest of the story. The word itself dates back through Middle English to Old English. Christus Massae, literally Christ Mass or Mass of the Christ. What does Mass mean? There's a book that was written years ago. There it is for you. It's written by a man by the name of John O'Brien, a Catholic who was defending what they believed and explaining it so that new Catholics could learn what they believed and why, and so that those outside of the Catholic Church could understand what they taught. Now listen to what he says about Mass. He, the priest, reaches up into the heavens, brings Christ down from his throne, and places him upon our altar to be offered again as the victim for the sins of men. Is that biblical? Sorry, but no. Christ suffered once for all. He does not suffer every time the priest chooses to bring him down and sacrifice him again. Same man goes on in a letter titled, Dear Mr. Graham, and it was published in a series of books called Voice of Freedom. The priest speaks, and lo, Christ, the eternal and omnipotent God, bows his head in humble obedience to the priest's command. Did you just get sick at your stomach? Jesus bows to no man. So Christmas has never even been a celebration of the birth for those who fabricated the holy day. It has always been an annual crucifixion of Jesus where he submits to the authority of the priest. And the sad thing is, that's about as close to a spiritual connection between Christmas and a religious holiday as one can get. Because just about everything else is pagan. The tree is pagan. The ornaments hanging on a tree are pagan. They go all the way back to the Canaanites, hanging little idols on their trees outside of their altar and temple. Mistletoe is pagan. all the way back to Norse mythology. It's supposed to bless you as long as you don't let it touch the ground. And so that's why you hang it up and walk under it. The lights celebrate the light winning over the darkness at the winter solstice. The presents are straight out of that exact same celebration where the Romans went around giving each other presents to celebrate the fact that the light had won. Now here's the big one. And I say it's the big one because even if the other two can be argued around, let me ask you a question. What if we fix all the errors in the story? I mean, our world tells the Christmas story, and we get three wise men at a manger. We get angels belting out songs from heaven. What if we fix all that? Wise men aren't numbered. The gifts are. We just know they're multiple ones. I give more than one gift to my wife, but based on the fact that I give her four, she should have four husbands if we're going to use that rationale. They didn't come to a manger. They came to a house after Jesus had been to Jerusalem for purification and brought back. And these wise men had traveled across the country. Probably 6 to 18 months after his birth before they get there. What if we fix our songs? And granted, in some ways it's better to hear Joy to the World for 1 month out of the year than it is to listen to Cardi B on the radio. But what if we fix them? Mary's Christ Child. If you've ever heard this song, it's one of the worst Christmas songs ever because it literally says, Christ was born on Christmas Day as the Holy Bible says. Find the word Christmas in the Bible for me. We Three Kings, or Reba singing It's the Baby's Birthday Party. What if we fix it? What if we remove Mass from it? What if we eliminate paganism? And we even can figure out the exact date. Can we set aside a day to celebrate the birth of Jesus? It's an interesting question. Is the birth of Jesus one of the bigger events in the history of our world? Yeah, it's a one-of-a-kind thing. And if it does not happen, the death of Jesus does not happen, and we have no salvation. It's an interesting question, but the answer is still no. Remove all the mistakes and all the extra that goes around with it. Get it exactly right. Is it a holy day? No. And here's the big reason. The missed date's not the biggest issue. The pagan/Christian combo, that's not the biggest issue. The biggest problem with recognizing any particular day as the birth of Christ and turning it into a holy day or a birthday party or a celebration or a memorial, whatever you want to call it, is God very specifically left it out. I want you to watch something. Israel has two handfuls at least of holy days. Man, they're feasting all the time. From 1446, when they exit Egypt after the first Passover, and they go get their law, until the death of Jesus, they celebrate Passover and Pentecost and Atonement and trumpets and tabernacles and dedication and so on. So for nearly 1,500 years, God's religion has involved memorial days. Suddenly, the new Israel, the church, has one. And it is the first day of the week, the Lord's Supper, every week, from the moment we obey the gospel to the day we pass from this life. There's no mention of Easter. And if you read the King James, by the way, that is something that King James inserted himself in place of the word Passover. No mention of the word Christmas. So here's another question. I'll let you reason this one out in your own head. If it took 345 years for the, quote, church to recognize the birth of Jesus as a holiday and begin to celebrate it, is it possible it is unauthorized and man-made? Not only did Israel have a myriad of holidays, by the way, the word holiday means holy day. Notice we don't call Halloween a holiday. Not only did they have a whole host of them, God was very, and I mean very specific about their dating. It's going to take place in this month, on this day, it's going to last. In fact, Pentecost dating is even included in the name, Penta. Seems to me to be very presumptuous and a whole lot arrogant to suggest that he just missed Christmas after being that meticulous for 1,500 years and that he needed us to help us out 345 years later and insert the birth of Jesus into our holy days. If he had wanted us to know the day of Jesus' birth for the purpose of remembering it and celebrating it, minute. We even get hours in the Bible. And in the third watch of the night, and in the fourth watch of the night, there is, and you can watch this as the story progresses, there is a very intentional moving on from the birth of Christ to other things. Matthew details part of the story. It's one of the bigger stories in the history of the world, and it gets about that much in the book of Matthew. And it's not counting wise men because they didn't come at the birth of Jesus. Luke supplements it with about that much. Mark skips it completely. Think about this. Mark is the gospel written to convince whom? Romans, right? Greek-minded, Roman-minded, mythology-based people who were very interested in the birth stories of their gods. And Mark doesn't even include it in his gospel. Is God making a point? John, as close as he gets to dealing with the birth of Jesus, is the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. And that's all he said. Jesus' best friend writes a history of his time on earth, writes three letters, and then the book of Revelation, and never mentions the birth of Jesus again. Think God's making a point. So here's the summary. God did not give us the authority to celebrate Jesus' birthday, whether we get the day right or not, whether we get the practice of it right or not. We do not have the authority to recognize it as a holy day because God did not recognize it as a holy day. It took over 300 years to even create a man-made holiday connected to it. Besides that, our culture can't get the date right, we can't get the story right, we can't get the songs right, we can't get the purpose right. Speaking of the purpose, what was it the angel, not sang by the way, what was it that the angel said to the shepherds? Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Oh, worldwide peace. This is the God and the King of the world. No. With whom he is pleased. This peace is being offered to a very select number of people who please God through Christ Jesus later on down the road. By the way, they didn't come to worship him as the King of the world. They came looking for the King of the Jews. It's So we can't even get the purpose of the birth of Jesus right. We can't keep it from being humanized and paganized. Christmas in 2022 is what? Grab absolutely everything you can, run your credit card debt up as high as it will let you go, and suck it all in. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are called to examine everything. That means our view of Easter. That means our view of Christmas. It means our view of worship. It means our view of an eldership. It means everything that we encounter. That we're to be more noble-minded than anybody else in the world because we search the Scriptures daily. We're to hold on to the stuff that's good. We're to reject everything else. Christmas as the birth of Jesus in any form of celebration at any time in the year is to be rejected. Because nothing good can come from it. And the proof is in the fact that nothing good has come from it from 345 A.D., to today. Let me give you a real quick side note. The question was asked, well, you're going to get all tore up about Christmas. How can the church recognize Halloween? Number one, the major difference. Halloween is not being made into a holy day connected to the birth of Jesus. We understand it's totally pagan, and nothing that we do has anything pagan involved in it. Was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Absolutely. Did it change the course of the world? Without a doubt. Did God move on to it, to the death, burial, resurrection, and appearance, because that's where our salvation is? Yeah. Leave it to Frosty. Leave it to Rudolph. If you want to, leave it alone completely. But Christmas cannot be connected to the birth of Christ without us buying into a false teaching and sharing a false teaching. Let's pray. Dear God and Father, may we always be people of the Word. May we be people who understand that we have to have an authority for everything that we do. May we be people who are willing to take that stand and share it with those around us. If others want to discuss the birth of Christ because that's in their mind this time of year, we can key on it. But we need to lead them to the truth succinctly, lovingly. Bless us in our attempts to always be people of the Word. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. There are three ways God teaches us what to do in Scripture. There are direct commands, things that God says you shall and you shall not do. They're the easy ones. There are binding examples. There are times that we see things that the New Testament church is doing, and it's a good thing, and it is an example for us that we pick up. They gathered together on the first day of the week to break bread. And then there are things that are called necessary inferences. It's where God implies something in Scripture, and we as the recipients infer what that means for us. If one of those three does not exist in reference to the subject, we are not authorized. A necessary inference would be the songbooks underneath your seat. We're told to sing and make melody in our heart. That songbook does nothing but allow us to accomplish that, where we can do it in some form of unity and follow our song leader. And so God, through giving us that command, infers however you need to be able to do this. You can do so. Christmas isn't in any of those. But what is that Jesus Christ died at Calvary to save us from our sins. And that through faith in that fact, that God died on the cross. and that he was buried to prove it, and that he was resurrected on the third day, conquering death, and that he appeared to give evidence of that. And those facts are to be reproduced not only through faith, but through repentance, and that I change my life and I look like him. I confess him verbally and in my life to everyone around me. And I'm baptized into that death, burial, resurrection, and appear like he did on this side of that grave. Or the commands that follow it up. If we'll learn to stick to the commands and the examples and the things that we are to infer from his implications, we will always stay safe. We will always stay within the boundaries he's set for us. If you're outside of those boundaries this morning in any way, please respond to the invitation. If you have questions, please ask. If you need to be taught, please let us know. If you need to obey the gospel, today would be a really good day to start over as we stand and sing.